right? Why only 12? Kind of appropriate. You know, in the summertime, you know, we have a lot of people on vacation and the numbers kind of go down and up, you know, as far as that. But I really love what Michelle said. And, you know, it's so much about hearts that are worshiping God. And when we begin to do that, things, amazing things happen. And I wanted to kind of just cover this. Why only 12? Why did Jesus only disciple 12? And I want to thank, before I get started, thank Victoria and Casey. I think Victoria helps with the background. She was the background of the stuff you see here, and Casey, they work together, and just I like to honor that because they're serving in their gifts, and that's awesome. So thank you for that, Victoria, Casey. Praise the Lord. A reminder to write a thought down today and take it home with you. Pray about it. Meditate on what God's talking to you about. Last week we had a tremendous service, and many people responded to move away from the wilderness and into God's promises. Move away from slavery in Egypt and move into God's promises. You know, in our lives, we need to move away from slavery to sin and into God's promises, our calling. And I really believe last week was really, really important and really special. When we choose to surrender our will to God's will, then we stop any further delays. Right? Amen? It was clear that the children of Israel couldn't get to the promised land because they didn't surrender. And because of that, they delayed God's promise. See, God promised the children of Israel that they would go to this land flowing with milk and honey. And He promised them that, but it was delayed a generation because they could not seem to surrender their will and just follow God's will. Because, you know, sometimes surrendering to God's will, it can be uncomfortable. Amen? Right? Your natural sinful nature that you're born with doesn't just voluntarily say, that's exciting, let's go do God's will. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that in your walk? So it can be uncomfortable, and it was uncomfortable for the children of Egypt to be wandering, going in the wilderness, going in a place where the next water was an adventure, just to get water, right? To get food. They were very uncomfortable. So our sinful nature doesn't just give up. Amen? It's there. But we are new in Christ Jesus. And we are not who we used to be. So the sinful nature is not completely dead yet, but we know it's dying and it's going to die. We're on that journey to being righteous, to being perfected. Jesus Christ is our righteousness. Amen. He is the reason that we are blameless, even though we're guilty. It's Jesus Christ. He's the reason. He's the reason. Whether people in this world know it or not, what everyone is searching for is fulfillment, whatever that may mean for you. Some people find it in love and relationships, and others in money, others in video games and sports, and right? Fulfillment. Some of you in shopping, right? They're looking for fulfillment, and it only comes. The real fulfillment, the reason you were created, your calling, is it only comes, that fulfillment of being who you were created to be, only comes when you're surrendered to God's will. And you are empowered to move forward in your gifting. You can go chase whatever fulfillment you want, but you'll never find it till it's Jesus Christ. So it's His will in your life. And last week was important because we need to just stop wandering in the wilderness and just decide, I'm going to go. I'm going to go and surrender all. We just concluded a 4-week class, and I really, really think and know in my heart that it was for a purpose bigger than any one of us. It was about service ministry. It was about service ministry. And the 4 weeks, I just, a lot of things came through, and a lot of people that I talked to and different things happened. But I'm going to quiz the ones that were coming to the class. I warned them. You're going to know all these answers because we reviewed them every week. So we went through a class of service ministry, and here were some core questions. What is ministry? Service, all right? I heard rolls, and then I heard some echoes. All right? Service. And who is called to minister?
Everyone.
Well, not just me. I thought I was the only one called to minister. If minister is service, ministry is not preaching. Amen? Preaching is a calling, but that's not all ministry is about. It's actually so much more. So, everyone, who has given you your ministry? God. And what does God really want from you?
Everything.
Everything. Shock, right? He wants everything. He doesn't want to share you. He is a jealous God, the Bible says. He does not want to share you. And one more question. Do you have a spiritual gift?
Absolutely.
Absolutely was the word I used, right? All of you have one. Our guiding theme for 2017 is rejoice. Our God's on the move. That's what we started the new year with. Rejoice, our God is on the move. But lately we've been talking a lot about surrendering and service. And I started kind of thinking about, Lord, what's going on and what are you doing? And Eloy kind of confirmed a lot too, and just giving a word that he felt from his heart he had to share from God. A wave is coming. Did you hear that word? I heard it loud and clear. A wave is coming. A wave is coming. And I started thinking, okay, rejoice, our God is on the move, serving, surrendering. I was thinking about the recent topics of service ministry and related it to this theme. And I came to realize that the first real indication that God is on the move is not that we feel His presence, or that we sing beautiful songs together, or that the pastor is giving good sermons. Those aren't real indications. You know how you know God's on the move? All that is good and it's profitable, what I said. But you know how you know God is on the move? The real indication is that God is on the move is when people begin to deny self. When people begin to serve and love one another with passion. When you start seeing a group of people beg God for repentance. When a group of people begin to ask, what can I do, Lord, to serve? Whatever it takes, without being given a motivational speech, just because their heart is to serve. When a group of people begin to act on the spirit nature and bury their carnal nature and just begin to work for things other than for themselves, then you know God's on the move. Because we've perfected how to do the show, right? God's on the move. We know how to do this. We know how to do that. But when God's really on the move and the wave is coming, and it's not coming because, we're special or anything like that. A wave of His move is coming because it's His timing. And He's preparing you. And those of you who have ears to hear, you are hearing the Spirit of God saying to you, I just can't sit here. I have to do something for His kingdom. You may not know what it is. You may not know exactly what that is at this point. But it's an attitude of servanthood. And when people begin to serve one another, then we know God's on the move. He's going to move. He's going to move. Which leads me to this week's sermon. Why only 12? And the answer is real simple. Because it requires everything. Everything. I'm starting to use words like everything and absolutely, and there's never, you know, just because Jesus was very, very like that. You know, your hand's causing you to sin, cut it off. Right? That's there's not much room for interpretation there, right? Stop it. Which leads me to Luke chapter 5, verse 27. We're only going to be in Luke today, so you don't have to move very far. In Luke chapter 5, verse 27. And after these things, he went forth, Jesus did, and he saw the publican named Levi, sitting at the receipt of the custom, and he said unto him, follow me. And Levi, he left all, and he rose up, and he followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. The point I wanted to make about this scripture is when Jesus said, follow me, Levi's reaction was to leave all. He left all he was doing. He just, whatever he was doing, he stopped. And his only focus was to make a feast for Jesus. He stopped what he was doing and he said, it's all about Jesus right now. It's all about Jesus right now. And he left all and he went. And he invited all these publicans and they met Jesus. And we don't even know the backstory. I guarantee you when we get to heaven, we're going to hear about this little feast that Levi had and how there were publicans there that during the Christian movement, when Jesus died, I bet there were some of these people that were at that feast that were helping the Christians escape. I bet we'll hear some amazing stories about how this feast, because he left all, he stopped all, we're going to hear stories about how these people were impacted and they were part of Christianity flowing out into the Gentile world and the Christianity moving in Jerusalem. See, there's just so much that goes on when you surrender all. There's so much power. There's so much stories that go on of people being freed when we surrender all. He left all. And that's why there were only 12. Because it takes a special commitment and heart to say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Luke chapter 18, verse 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good, master? None is good save one that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my very youth. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, you lackest thou one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God, for it is easier for a camel to go through the needle of an eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, the things which are impossible with men, like a camel going through the eye of a needle, are possible with God. Amen. Then Peter said, lo, we have left everything. We left all and followed you, Jesus. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, whom shall not receive manifold more in his present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting. The rich man was not willing to leave all. The rich man said, I'll do this, I'll do that. But when he was confronted about leaving the thing that he loved most, he was saddened. That's why there was only 12. The disciples, they left all. Luke chapter 14, verse 35. Luke 14, let's start with 33. Or actually, let's start with 25 and counting the costs. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and he said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sister, yea, and his own life, also he cannot be my disciple. So at the end of this, I'm going to explain what that scripture means, because you know, you gotta look at the whole picture in the gospel. You can't just read one scripture and say, I guess I gotta leave my family now. But we'll come back to that. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intended to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have the sufficient funds to finish it, lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and it is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consult whether he be able to get 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador that desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. And that's why there was only 12. You know, I'm jumping into some dangerous waters, as they say in the pastoral world. You want to get a big congregation, you start talking about how everyone's going to be blessed and everything's going to be wonderful, and everybody loves to hear that. But to be honest, that's not what we're called to do in this church. We're called to serve and impact a community. Impact children that need to hear hope. Impact. See, Jesus only had 12 because he required them to surrender all, to serve for the kingdom. Why were there only 12? That's why there was only 12. And there may be only a few of us, but that is insignificant. The impact of those 12 was pretty amazing. Right? And then he added Saul, right? And then he added us, the Gentile church. If Jesus is not Lord first, the driver of your life, then you become like verse 35. Let's read that, or 34. Forsake not all he hath, he cannot be my disciple. 34. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? So notice that Jesus talks about the disciples who surrendered all, and then he uses this illustration about salt and saltiness. You see, when you begin to serve the Lord, if you're not surrendered to his will, you're like salt without saltiness. And you know what you do with salt that doesn't have saltiness? I don't know about you, but you throw it. Right? If it's rotten, you throw it. If that's its purpose. It is neither fit for the land, verse 35, nor for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears, let him hear. See, now, I like it when Jesus does that. Like, Like, I'm telling you something here that's kind of like in a parable, but are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm really not talking about salt. Right? He's not talking about salt. He's talking about Christians, His disciples, His people. Do you get it? That in order to live this life for Jesus Christ, it's a surrender and awe to impact the world, or its saltiness. It's nothing. It's like no flavor. And then he says, if you have an ear, hear what I'm saying. Hear what I'm saying. This is a challenge from Jesus to look down deep into your heart. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you hear why there was only 12? Because it took all. It took everything. You know, one of the encounters that I personally had with God, as Alyssa and I were going through a lot earlier in our marriage and in the children, and one of the things where God just knocked me over the head was, it's saltless. I don't just want 90% of you. It's great, you're doing good, but that's not why I created you. It's not what I need for the kingdom. So get in or get out so I can replace you. Get in or get out. And I just knew it's all or it's wilderness. It's all or it's quicksand. I said, Lord, okay. Doesn't mean I got it all figured out or I'm perfect, but it's an attitude of, Lord, humble ourselves and say, Lord, keep changing me. It's not about me winning. It's not about me having it right, being the one that's right. It's not about any of that. It's about, Lord, how do we impact people? That's why there was only 12, because it requires all. Who is leading your decisions? Is it God's will or is it your will? You know, as you begin to serve the Lord, you begin to notice something you never noticed before. Like, there's actually a leading of His Spirit that I didn't know about before, but I sense that not all my decisions are mine to make. I know there's a God, and God confirms things, and God will put things in your heart and make you at peace. And it will not always be comfortable. Don't interpret comfort as that's not God's will. As a matter of fact, it's usually uncomfortable when He starts leading you. And the rubber band stretch that, you know, I talked with Joseph and others, we've talked about the stretching of the rubber band, you know, it's not comfortable. But it's so blessed. It's so blessed. So why only 12? Because Jesus requires everything. All right. So how many are in? Tough sermon, huh? That's why the congregation gets smaller and smaller, right? Wait, Pastor, tell me how wonderful I'm going to be. Well, the truth is that when you surrender all that is true. It is wonderful. It is blessed. It is overflowing. But one thing that I've learned as a Christian is I always have to check myself. I know God's got amazing blessings and promises for my life and for our family and for the church, you know, but on a personal level. I know that, but I had to catch myself early. I don't want to serve the Lord so that I can get that stuff. I want to just serve the Lord to serve. And whatever God gives me is just like bonus. Right? And a lot of times we begin to tell Christians that keep serving the Lord so that you can get more out of life. His word is truth. You will get more out of life. But do not serve the Lord because of that. He will bless you to overflowing. But do not serve the Lord to get. Serve the Lord to give. And then He'll take care of the rest. He will take care of the rest. It's the truth of His gospel. Luke 14:26, last scripture. 14:26. I told you I was going to come back to this. And there were great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto him, If any man come to me and hate not his father, and his mother, and his wife, and his children, and brethren, and sister, yea, his own life, also he cannot be my disciple. So we know for a fact that Jesus, because of other scriptures, right, that say honor your mother and father, other scriptures that says, you know, children obey your parents, and parents don't provoke your children, and men, you know, guide your family, and all. We know because of all the other scriptures, this cannot mean what it means when you just read it. Hate your family, right? So we know that's not what it means. So what is this? And this is the thing about how Jesus gave parables. He would go to the extreme so that you can get the point, right? So when he said, stops, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off, that's an extreme. Right? And Jesus didn't mean cut off your hand. He means, hey, get serious about it. Ask Jesus to take over and empower you to overcome sin. Right? That, we know that that's the message in the New Testament. So what he meant here, let me make it clear that Jesus is not promoting that everyone leave your family to show that you are his disciple. What this scripture means is that compared to one's devotion to Christ, one's family ties is secondary. And that is so true. Compared to our surrendering all to God's will in our lives, our family ties, our own will, all of those things are secondary. Are secondary. In other words, it is possible to put God first and still take care of your family. Amen? God will lead you to that. But our relationship with God must always be primary. Everything else will work out. And that is why there were only 12. That's why. Why only 12? Because it requires so much, everything. Consider the cost. You know, but I've come to realize this, that this wave that's coming, this opportunity that I believe God has given us to impact the community, and many have asked, you know, when are we going back to do something in the community and this and that, and the wave is coming. We're starting with the Duncanville Church coming. I think that's like a kickoff of something. Amen? And I'm getting ready to assign responsibilities. And some of you are going to get communication from me saying, can you do this? Can you do that? If you say no, I won't be offended. Trust me. I do not want anybody to do anything that you don't feel called or want to do, or your heart's not in it. So believe me, I don't take no as a negative. We only want people doing things that they're passionate and cheerful. God loves a cheerful giver. And that's why I used to tell David Jr. all the time, if your dad's going to make you go to the food bank, you might as well smile. Because you can get credit in heaven. If you're pouting, it's going to be like no credit. So you might as well smile. Yeah, PKs have a different challenge. Let me just put it that way. And it is just true, because if no one shows up to help, it will happen. I may have to do it all. And Casey may, PK, poor PK may have to do a lot. And Eloy and others that are already dedicated to the service of ministry, and it will happen, right? But God has a plan. A foundation that is centered on Jesus Christ as our cornerstone is being laid in this city. I really believe that, and we have confirmation today. There is a foundation being laid in the city. You may be saying, Pastor, you keep saying that, Don't worry. God's timing is His perfect time. But you, when God starts putting... Because the truth is, the delay is on us. Because it takes people that are willing to surrender all, to serve cheerfully. You can't force yourself to serve cheerfully. Let me tell you why a lot of times we struggle to serve cheerfully. And it's real simple, and we talked about it in the class. You must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You must be in love with Jesus daily. I told them the first day, and I reminded them every week in the class, the work and the process of service ministry is never, ever more important than the personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because when you're in that, when you have that daily walk with Him, giving becomes more cheerful. And that's a challenge for all of us, because your carnal nature has millions of excuses. I'm too tired, I'm working hard, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. God understands, I'm tired, and so many things we could come up with, right? The foundation must be Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus is laying a cornerstone in this city, in this valley. I believe we are a lighthouse, which my brother about, what, so many years ago, maybe 30 years ago, 24 years ago, we had a prayer meeting, said, and he hardly ever talks, have you noticed? Have you all heard him talk? He said at a prayer meeting, and I'll never forget it. And I know, that's how I know it's of God, because you don't forget it. Because there's a lot of things said at prayer meetings I don't remember. But he said, I just feel that God is telling us that we're a lighthouse. A lighthouse. Being prepared to serve this community in ways that can't be comprehended. But it begins with baby steps. And first, surrender your will. Second, serve when you can. However you can. Third, let the people know you're willing to serve. Let the pastor know you're willing to serve. That's what the disciples did. That is what we are called to do. It's not easy. Consider the cost. It's hard work. It's stressful. And this is why there were only 12. That's why. But when our eyes are open and we see our service as a contribution to God's kingdom. See, anything that you do, do you see it as a contribution to God's kingdom? Then it gets exciting. It gets exciting. So here's a question for you. Do you want to be one of the 12? And if you don't, you're more than welcome to keep coming to the church, right? Because God is a patient, merciful God, and He will open us, welcome us all the time. So please, we don't want next week to only be 12 people here. But it's the Holy Spirit that checks your heart, that speaks to you. So I want to close. It's 12:25. We're going to close. I have a few more handouts here. There's a few more things that if you're hearing this and like, okay, how can I serve a little bit? I have a few more things for the Duncanville outreach. Now, if you're working and you can't, you know, get out there today and all that, that's okay. But if I have a few handouts here, and if you check something off, it doesn't mean you're going to do that. I'm just trying to get an idea of what everybody's willing to do, and then we're putting it together, and we're going to execute a plan. And then I'll ask you, are you willing to do this, that? And if you don't put anything down, I may still ask you, are you willing to do something? But this thing's coming together, and we want to serve this community. It's going to be hot. It's not going to be comfortable. But it's blessed. So just to give you an idea, you can serve by making sure that there's a bottle of waters for us when we go to the outreaches. It's going to be hot. You can just be in charge of that and say, I'll be doing that. serve by organizing snacks for 3 nights at VBS. We still need someone to organize food out there for the kids, like hot dogs or nachos, something simple for about 120 people. So it's work. It's not, you know. Serve by showing up whenever possible and talk to you more. Eloy, if you'll hand some of these out, maybe a list. Pete. You don't have to turn these in, by the way. Don't worry about it. But if there's anybody else, I just want to know who the people are so that we can put something together. Praise the Lord. Read through that. As they're doing that, let's just pray. And thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you that you reminded us why there was only 12. Consider the cost. And Lord, we know that a wave is coming. We've heard you this morning. A wave is coming. A wave is coming, and it's a wave that is grounded in servanthood, in humility, in caring for people, in being uncomfortable so that the kingdom of God can advance. So, Lord, I just pray right now that you will seal in our hearts what we've heard, Lord. We want to be one of the 12. And we want to make a difference in this community because the wave is coming. And, Lord, each one of us have different gifts. And, Lord, there's not one more important than the other. And there may be people willing to serve, but there won't be an opportunity this time. Lord, we'll be ready for the next time. And ready for the next time. So Lord, seal this in our hearts. And bring us back together ready to worship, to serve, to praise you, and to ride this wave that's coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.